from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Earlier this month, Wisconsin Governor and presidential hopeful Scott Walker released his proposed state budget. It would cut $300 million from the University of Wisconsin system over the next 2 years. His office also tried to rewrite the mission statement of the university, the so-called Wisconsin idea. Out was the 110-year-old language that said, basic to every purpose of the system is the search for truth. Out. In was language focused on the state's workforce needs. The governor backtracked on the language, but the point was made. A debate is on this hour on Point. Scott Walker, the Wisconsin idea, and the purpose and support of great public universities. Later in this hour, we'll talk about Scott Walker's presidential ambitions, getting some traction with the Washington Post's Chris Saliza. He has been out and talking and getting pretty good feedback from potential primary voters. Here was Scott Walker, one of the Republican presidential hopefuls, speaking at the Iowa Freedom Caucus in January. His speech, very well received, said Americans need to be less dependent on government, drew a standing ovation from the crowd.
There's a reason why in America we take a day off to celebrate the 4th of July and not the 15th of April, because in America we value our independence from the government, not our dependence on it, to keep that going forward.
And what about learning? Here he is talking earlier this month with Fox News about his proposed cuts to higher education in Wisconsin.
Learning's important, but ultimately it's most important for people to get the chance to get the education that they need to succeed in the workforce and in life.
It's about the workforce. That's the big focus here on the campuses of University of Wisconsin schools. Concern about what that would mean for the full mission, as it has been understood, of the Wisconsin University system. Here's a rally University of Wisconsin Milwaukee PhD student teaching assistant Chase Irwin said he's worried about the cuts. He thought they would make the university less competitive as a research institution.
I think it's going to strain our ability to be a competitive and marketable institution within the larger framework of national education. I think it's going to endanger our mission as a research university.
With us first today from Milwaukee is Karen Herzog, higher ed reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Karen, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
So remind us of what was cut out of this mission statement before the governor's office said these were drafting errors. They really took out the line that said basic to every purpose of the system is the search for truth?
Yes. The guiding principle for the state's universities for more than a century has been something called the Wisconsin idea. And Governor Walker's budget rewrote the mission statement, that is, to take out the aspect of it that the mission is to solve problems that improve people's lives beyond the classroom. And the key language there is the venerated concept that the boundaries of the university extend to the boundaries of the state. And instead of, so several words were struck out of the mission, and instead the governor inserted the words to serve the state's workforce needs.
Phrases that came out: to educate people and improve the human condition, out. To serve and stimulate society, out. And the boundaries part, in came the state's workforce needs as a focus. What is the message the governor was looking to send, or his staff, whoever wrote that up and proposed it, with these changes, Karen?
The message is essentially that the most important thing for a university to do is to educate students so that they are prepared for jobs. There has been a big focus in Wisconsin on making sure that students graduate with the right skill set. There has been a lot of talk about a liberal arts education being good for a person, but does it really prepare them for a job? And as you know, there's been quite a bit of criticism of the liberal arts education, and that some would say that it doesn't meet the needs of the workforce.
Is there ultimately a contradiction between the Wisconsin idea of a search for truth and job creation? I mean, historically, haven't those gone hand in hand? Our universities have unbuckled some pretty huge arenas for economic growth.
Absolutely. And I think that if you asked any of the chancellors in the UW system whether that has always been a part of their mission, they would tell you that job creation, research, especially the two research-focused institutions, UW-Madison and UW-Milwaukee, that is a great part of what they do, that they drive the economy, that they prepare the workforce of the future, but that they also prepare students to be citizens of the world and leaders.
You've got a very big and widely respected public university system in Wisconsin, 180,000 students in more than a dozen campuses there. This wasn't just a kind of ideological shift that was signaled with that draft language. There's also a big budget number that's supposed to come out, $300 million over 2 years. Now, the governor's office got back to us. We couldn't get Scott Walker on, but they said it's a 2.5% cut. You and others are writing it's a 13% cut. What is it?
Well, all the numbers that are being used are real numbers. Technically, the governor's office is correct in stating that it's a 2.5% of this $150 million annual cut is 2.5% of the $6 billion budget.
Operating budget, they like to say.
Correct. Mm-hmm. However, there's a good share of that money, of the $6 billion that the UW can't tap into, because that money is from federal research grants, gifts for specific purposes, fees that pay for athletics and other programs. So essentially, the one number that everyone does agree on is that the cut represents 13% of the state funding that the university system receives.
And there is more autonomy to be given here, and that's presented as something necessary and good. Is it being received that way? And what does autonomy mean? Would these still be public universities with the full backing of the state of Wisconsin, as traditionally known?
That's a very complex question to answer. Some would tell you that this is an effort to privatize the UW system, basically saying to the UW system, you have control over procurement, capital campaigns, budgets, basically giving them the ability to make decisions to run their campuses the way they see fit. However, this autonomy, which the university system has been seeking for a long time, has been tied to this $300 million cut. The governor's office says that if we give you the autonomy, the flexibilities, you can find efficiencies that would offset the $300 million. Chancellors would tell you that in the long term, the efficiencies that could be gained would help save money. But the cuts are short-term. The cuts are something immediate that they must come to grips with within the next few months.
Cuts and a tuition freeze. Of course, nobody wants higher tuition, but if you have cuts and that, that makes the cuts even more significant. A lot of national media are interpreting this whole push as signaling by Governor Walker to conservative Republicans nationally, who he is clearly wooing in a potential presidential bid, that he's their guy. Is this seen within Wisconsin, Karen, as mainly national political signaling or really about the business of the state?
It depends on who you ask. The governor's office would say he's squarely focused on the needs of the state and that this is something that is in the best interest of the state. Critics would tell you that this is all set against the backdrop of the governor potentially running for president. And, of course, universities, the whole idea of taking on universities and reforming them, so to speak, that plays well with conservative voters because they see universities as elite institutions and hotbeds of liberalism. So it does obviously reflect an ideological viewpoint. However, the governor would say that what he's doing is in the best interest of the state and the students.
The Wisconsin idea, you talked about it there, everybody does. Is that an ideal that's shared across party lines these days? Or has that become politicized as well? What was the response to the perception that the Wisconsin idea of this high ideal for public university education was under attack?
Well, the Wisconsin idea is over a century old, and it is based in progressive movement. So it is based on a different political climate than what we have today. But this kind of came out of the blue. There was the governor never telegraphed anything about changing the mission of the UW system. This was something that was discovered by looking at the details of the wording. And I think the strongest reaction came from the UW system president, Ray Cross, when he said the Wisconsin idea is embedded in our DNA. It is so much more than words on a page. It defines us and forever will distinguish us as a great public university. Very strong statement in support of the Wisconsin idea. The chancellors have been rallying alumni, parents. It's been a huge pushback to the idea of cutting the budget to the degree that it's being cut, and also this concern that the mission of the university is shifting, even though the governor did back away from taking that language out.
Of course, Governor Walker has faced huge pushback before from some quarters in Wisconsin and prevailed in his moves on public unions there and collective bargaining there, a recall vote there. He won. What about this time? Does the Wisconsin legislature appear to be behind him on the cuts, if not the language changes, which have been withdrawn?
I believe that there is probably going to be a shift in that backing. In 2011, the Republican legislators were pretty strongly behind the governor. This time, there is a sense that the cuts may in fact be too deep for the university system to absorb in the short term. And there's been a lot of lobbying going on. Chancellors, the UW system president, they've been spending a lot of time at the Capitol talking with legislators, trying to make their case that this cut should be reduced. They still want the autonomy. And then there's also a mixed bag there because there's reluctance to give the university system authority over tuition. And that, as you know, is a big thing for balancing their budget and as a major revenue stream.
With implications all of its own. Karen Herzog, we're up against the clock here. Very grateful to you for joining us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, higher ed reporter there. We're looking at Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and higher education in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin idea. What should public universities be? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and higher education in Wisconsin, the big fight right now over budgets and visions for what public higher ed should be in Wisconsin and maybe beyond, a charge that Walker is attacking the Wisconsin idea of the great search for knowledge benefiting all, century-plus-old idea in Wisconsin. The governor's saying, look, we've got budget issues here, and we need to train students for the workforce. Scott Walker, of course, very prominent on the campaign trail, early campaign trail for the 2016 Republican Party nomination for the presidency. He's been out around the country, out around the world a little bit. He was in London earlier this month on a trade mission, sort of punching that card, global experience, spoke at a British think tank, Chatham House, pretty prominent. He was asked if he believes in evolution. You'll hear the debate moderator in London first, Justin Webb of the BBC Radio 4, then Walker.
Are you comfortable with the idea of evolution? Do you believe in it? Do you accept it?
For me, I'm going to punt on that one as well.
No! Really?
That's a question a politician shouldn't be involved in one way or the other, right?
Governor of Wisconsin punts on the idea of evolution, but not on what we need out of our universities. On January 28th, he announced these $300 million budget cuts were coming, freeze on tuition, part of a two-year budget proposal, said universities would have to look at new approaches to offset the effect of the cut, suggested that professors add to their course load to save costs.
Things as simple as, in the future, by not having the limitations of things like shared governance, they might be able to make savings just by asking faculty and staff to consider teaching one more class a semester.
Hey, lots of people are working harder, but that got a lot of people up in arms. So as a lot of this, here's a February rally at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Education cuts have got to go!
Education cuts have got to go!
Joining me now from Madison, Wisconsin is Noel Radomski, director of the Wisconsin Center for the Advancement of Post-Secondary Education, University of Wisconsin-Madison, previously worked as policy and planning analyst for the Office of the Chancellor there. Noel Radomski, welcome to On Point. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And from Madison, also, Christian Schneider joins us, columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He spent 8 years working for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Christian Schneider, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Christian, first to you. You have said it's good for the system to have more freedom, and maybe these budget cuts are fine. Is that your view?
It tends to be my view. I like kind of taking a more of a long-term look at the UW system. And the whole, you know, idea of the Wisconsin idea, I think it's alive and well here. Just in the last 20 years, the system has added about 30,000 new students. Just in the last 10 years, the system's added 4,000 new employees. So it's not necessarily a system that's being starved to death. In terms of the funding, yes, there's, you know, the governor takes $150 million off the table the first year and then freezes it there the second year. So that makes the $300 million cut. But I do think the accountability portion of this is being undersold. In the mid-2000s, a lot of university systems said, hey, you know, we've got tight budgets. We're not going to be able to give the universities as much as they want. So let's kind of make this swap where they get more autonomy and get to handle their own affairs themselves. And I think that's, you know, that's clearly what Governor Walker is working towards here. And I think in the long term with this authority, the cuts are going to be able to at least be blunted a little bit in the long term.
Christian, why do you think the governor's office took the language out of the mission statement of this venerated university system, talking about the search for truth and improving the human condition, serving and stimulating society? The governor later said that was a drafting error. People are pretty skeptical about that claim. But why do you think it came out in the first place, that language?
That is an excellent question. I've even written that I thought it was a little weird for his budget office to do that. You know, the idea of the Wisconsin idea goes back 100 years, and it's from the progressive era, and they certainly weren't shy about, you know, their goals for the university system. But regardless of what is in the statutory mission statement, you know, the university is not governed based on that mission statement. So going in there and monkeying around with that just never really made any sense to me, just because, you know, you're picking a fight that is pretty worthless in the long term. I know that he wanted to add a portion just to proactively say, you know, the UW should be more interested in helping the state's workforce and creating new degrees to help create jobs. But yeah, taking out stuff like the search for truth and that stuff was a mistake. And I think he recognized that. In the end, I think it's kind of a tempest in a teapot, but it was kind of a signal to his opponents that, hey, here's a guy that's coming after us.
Noel Radomski, tempest in a teapot to change the language of the Wisconsin idea, the mission statement of the big university system?
I agree with Christian. If I were advising the governor, I would obviously tell him not to touch that. It could have been he was looking at, or his staff was looking at, the rewrite of the state statute leading towards the UW system's public authority, the autonomy piece. So perhaps that was the mixed. But it goes back to the larger history of the Wisconsin idea and the you know, getting down to the very purpose of higher education in Wisconsin.
But, I mean, it seems to me, looking in from the outside, that that's a pretty big deal. I'm trying to understand the impulse to remove language like that with all of its history from the mission statement, the fundament. You can say it doesn't matter in day-to-day governance, but these things matter over time. What would the impulse be to take that out?
I'm not sure. If one disagrees with what took place over the last, you know, going back to the 1880s, or actually looking at the Morrill Landgraf Act of 1862, which was really the foundational element of the Wisconsin idea, where we brought applied learning. So the fact that there's this tension between the liberal arts and the pursuit for truth, that historically has played out in Wisconsin through the University of Wisconsin. Even the creation of the College of Agriculture and Mechanical Arts, which was a requirement of the Morrill Landgraf Act, the faculty on the Madison campus fought it. And it wasn't until the Board of Regents said, we're going to do it, that eventually happened. And then ultimately we started offering short courses, farm short courses on campus and throughout the state, teachers' institutes. And then all of a sudden there was this healthy mix between basic research, applied research, and the old three-legged stool. We're a dairy state, right?
Yes.
So you have one leg of the stool is instruction. The second leg is research, and the third is public outreach. And they're all intermingled, meaning you can teach on or off campus and is based sometimes off of the research. The research informs practices in the real world, in the agriculture, in mechanical arts. And then also the idea where problems exist in society, in government, in industry, are brought back to the faculty, and then they do research. So you see there's a circular, a rotation between the needs of the state and the expertise on campus. That is the foundation of the Wisconsin idea. So when the proposed deleting the search for truth, I think that hurt not only the faculty, but I think people who understand the role and the evolution of the Wisconsin idea. The Wisconsin idea continues to shift because it is an experiment. It's been an experiment since the 1880s.
But that's my question, whether the formula that Wisconsin finally came to there, a combination of practical and very high-minded research and inquiry, is now on the chopping block here. I mean, your public university system historically has sort of stood for the best of American public higher education. So if the formula's changing there, if that's what Scott Walker's pushing for, and he's a prominent contender for the White House within the Republican Party, to your mind, Noel, does it mean that we have a push to shift the basic understanding of what higher education is or has become in this country?
I believe the answer is yes. The question is, how does it play out? How big of a cut will it be? Will it be $300 million, $200 million, $100 million? It's now up to the legislature. But whenever there are cuts, that forces the universities to adapt, right? So you may change an emphasis on degree programs. You may look at low enrollment degree programs and say, perhaps we shouldn't do this. Perhaps that means the universities have to look for activities that bring in revenue to offset. Perhaps it means then you increase tuition for non-resident students because they're talking about a tuition freeze for mm-hmm. Residents of Wisconsin. So my point is with the cuts, proposed cuts, it forces the universities to change. And then the question becomes, how far does it deviate from the original mission or the contemporary mission of the university, not just UW-Madison, UW-Milwaukee, which are the doctoral campuses, but the people's universities, the regional campuses, the UW-Stouts, UW-La Crosse, UW-Stevens Point, UW-Superior, mm-hmm. and the two-year colleges, the freshman, sophomore campuses we call the UW colleges on campus. Those institutions are highly dependent on state revenue. So the point is, the cuts, whatever level the cuts are, it will impact all of the colleges and universities, public colleges and universities, and it will especially impact the regional campuses and the UW colleges. And that's, you know, historically, those were created to serve the people of Wisconsin. That was part of the Wisconsin idea.
Critics saying it's an effort to privatize and sort of turn things into technical colleges here. Scott Walker saying we have changing needs. The big university system isn't meeting it. Noel Radomski, Christian Schneider, please stand by. Let me go to Mark calling from Platteville, Wisconsin. Hi, Mark, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just want to add another dimension to this discussion. I think that this question of the Wisconsin idea and the search for truth is something that is unacceptable to Scott Walker and his corporate paymasters, the Koch brothers and others. They don't want a search for truth. They don't want science. And in fact, nobody has mentioned yet, but among the many attacks Walker has made here in Wisconsin against the truth and science is that he is gutting our Department of Natural Resources, specifically targeting the scientists who work for our DNR. And I want to talk also about this question of the so-called public authority, which really is a privatization move, an initial move in that direction. And the problem with that is that we have, over the last couple decades, been defunding the University of Wisconsin system in a huge way. It's only a fraction of what it was in terms of the state budget. And what's happening now is that the power is going to be turned over to unaccountable administrators on our campuses. under this so-called autonomy or flexibility. It really is just going to increase the corruption on our campuses where administrators are squandering money and taking it away from the classroom into all kinds of unnecessary things, including junkets where they travel around the globe on the taxpayers' dollars. So,
but Mark, there you seem to be saying you want legislative oversight ultimately.
We would rather have electable and accountable legislators in charge in the long run than people who are totally unaccountable, and that's exactly what Walker wants to do. By the way, this is not a very well-known thing, but Walker and his assistants conspired with top administrators in the UW system 4 years ago to make sure that the collective bargaining rights won by the faculty after decades of struggle was taken away 100%, whereas other state workers were also stripped of collective bargaining rights, but not fully.
Mark, we've got it. It's a complicated picture. Lots of moving parts here. You're saying hands off on the, but watch out for the squandering. We hear all of that. We're looking at the University of Wisconsin public university system and Scott Walker's moves to take a lot of money away and maybe change the mission. I want to pick up those issues. A couple more calls from Wisconsin. Someone here, Laura in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Laura, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes.
Currently, I'm going to school at a technical college in Madison, and I just thought it was so interesting that maybe Walker doesn't understand that the University of Wisconsin is more for liberal arts, but there is a great university throughout Wisconsin for specifically jobs, which is the MATC program or Madison Area Technical College. And I don't understand necessarily why he wants to change the mission of the University of Wisconsin to fit what MATC is already doing.
You've got a technical college system. Let that be there. On the other hand, Laura, many are saying, look, your big university system is also, yes, they're liberal arts. There's a lot of science there as well. And together, they grow the economy. Well, look at that. Appreciate your call. Mike in Madison, Wisconsin. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi. I'll put this out there. I'm a UW engineering grad, and I'm not a Walker fan. I think he's a libertarian in Republicans' sheep clothing. But I would tend to agree. A 2.5% cut out of a $6 billion budget might require the university to tighten its belt a little bit, might require them to look at some of these esoteric programs. Might look at Barry Alvarez's salary. Maybe that alone, cutting him and his staff back a little bit, might save the $100
million. In the sports program.
I'm being facetious, yes. But I think the sports program has gotten way out of hand. You know, there used to be a huge boxing program back in the early 1900s through the middle 1900s. It's gone. Maybe that needs to be the case with some of these the crew program or some of these less attended sports that can't support themselves.
Mike, we've got it. Our time is short before the break. Noel Radomski, look at the football coach's salary there, says this caller. Says another, there's squandering going on. There's the notion that there are savings that could be had here, and also that maybe between the lines, I mean, Laura leans the other way, but some callers saying maybe there are esoteric programs that this fabled venerable system doesn't need.
A couple of points. One, athletics does contribute now more to the general campus. In fact, the chancellor just asked the athletic board, which they agreed, to give additional several million dollars more to the campus.
And a net earner, you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, so now the Big Ten network contract comes up in 2 years, and I would expect and I would hope that the chancellor will get more money that is directed to the university. It is the Division of Athletics is at UW-Madison, not the other way around. Also, the person who spoke about the technical colleges, that's quite correct. We've got – we have several 13-plus technical colleges, and they also have regional campuses as well. So when you think about resources, state resources and local property taxes that pay for – and tuition, obviously – you can't start duplicating a vocational technical education at the four-year universities when we are investing both the state and the local property taxes at the technical college. And then finally, with the question of esoteric programs, you know, it's part of an educated citizenry to have a diverse portfolio of degree programs and majors. If you are taking – art. You are frequently getting a certificate in entrepreneurship. So again, it's not an either or.
This On Point podcast is made possible by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Audible has more than 150,000 titles to choose from, plus exclusive content. From fiction, nonfiction, bestsellers, every category imaginable, so you're certain to find something interesting. On Point listeners can try it for free. Go to audible.com/onpoint. That's audible.com/onpoint. And get started today.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and higher education in Wisconsin. The big fight right now over budgets and visions for what public higher education should be. Bill in Burlington, Vermont. Bill, you're on the air.
Tom, thanks for taking my call. Tom, I'm a biochemist and a molecular biologist. I did a PhD at Brown and was very seriously considering doing a PhD at Madison, which was and is one of the great research universities in the country, if not the world. I think it's ironic that you have a person like Scott Walker who wants creationism taught in the schools, who denies evolution and climate change, and who himself either flunked out or dropped out of Marquette University with a C-plus average, and his only academic distinction was basically the fact that he lost every student election there while being accused of stealing, at one point, student newspapers, which wanted...
But Bill, so what? I mean, Wisconsin voters have looked at this man. They've had a pretty good length of time to judge him, and they voted him in repeatedly as governor. So what if he doesn't have a college degree?
Well, I think that it's interesting that what he's trying to do now is dismantle the sort of a crown jewel of one of the crown jewel research universities in the country. And he's a person himself who doesn't have a college degree. He clearly is against education at almost every level. The idea that you would substitute this kind of like manual labor kind of it's just sort of the whole conservative right-wing religious based anti-science kind of tact really that you see there.
Bill, we've got it. I appreciate your call. So, some prominent Democrats, Howard Dean among them, have gone after Scott Walker for not having college degrees, saying should he be president without it. Here he was. This was Walker on Fox News with Megyn Kelly just this week saying, well, here's his response to that whole criticism.
I said, it's interesting. That's kind of the elitist, government knows best, top-down approach from Washington we've heard from years. And I don't know about you, Megyn, but we've had a Ivy League-trained lawyer in the White House for the last 6 years who was pretty good at reading off a teleprompter but done a pretty lousy job leading this country. I'd rather have a fighter who's actually proven he could take on the big government special interest and win.
Scott Walker talking to the base there in his primary push. Christian Snyder, is there some fundamental misunderstanding of how the university system works here in Scott Walker's mind, or animus against it? Or do you think he's got the right beat on what Wisconsin actually needs?
I don't think he necessarily has any animus towards the system. I mean, you have to understand his budget proposal and then kind of what the chancellors and the president are talking about. I mean, they're negotiating positions at this point. So it's going to go to the legislature. They're going to hash it out. In the last budget, Walker proposed increasing aid to the UW system by about $90 million. And the legislature whacked that back because in the middle of the process, they realized, well, hey, wait a minute. The university system has this like $1.3 billion cash reserves that they've been squirreling away for years. And so, you know, why are we going to give them more tuition and more state aid when they've got this money sitting aside? Now, obviously, that money all can't be used. And the UW has said that it could offset some of his cuts with that money. But Noel talked a little bit about the three-legged stool of instruction, research, and kind of everything else. Republicans and conservatives look at the UW system and they say, "Okay, some of the legs of the stool are a little bigger than they should be." The research and instruction are about 40% of the UW budget. So, I think the legislature will probably look and say, how about a little bit more of the core research and instruction and a little bit less of kind of the everything else? And so, you know, that would tend to strengthen the research that the caller was talking about. Mm. In the long term, when you look at kind of the pool of money that's available for the UW to use and in state aid and tuition. They get a bunch of other money from federal money and gifts and grants and things like that. But that money is kind of tied up. It can't be used. So in the last 17 years, tuition and state aid has increased by about 65%. So in the long term, you know, I think it's still going to be a healthy university system. And seriously, don't short sell the autonomy portion of this. If Walker went to the legislature and said, okay, we'll cut him $100 million and give him autonomy, the legislature would probably cut him $100 million and cut the autonomy. $200 million, probably the same thing. But $300 million, now the legislature is kind of paying attention. And they're like, okay, well, maybe we should give him the autonomy to make these cuts up.
Do they end up becoming privatized? Chris in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to make a philosophical point. I attended UW-Milwaukee as an art major and a film studies minor, and I think that we are all better off as a society to have an intelligent, well-read a group of people out there, and it doesn't make any difference if they get a job that makes $60,000 a year or whatever, and there are people, I mean, you would like to have your waitress be smart. You would like to have your cab driver be smart. It's like you don't have to just have these jobs that people are going into the workforce and just working these jobs. We have other things to do in life.
Chris, we've got it. I mean, sure, everybody would like that. Economy matters, too. I'm not sure there's a contradiction, but I appreciate your call. John Sharpless joins us right now. He's a professor of history at University of Wisconsin-Madison, was a Republican candidate for the U.S. House from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District in the year 2000. John Sharpless, thank you very much for being with us. As a Republican, how do you look at the push from the governor's office on the Wisconsin university system?
Well, actually, when he came to office and he asked people, the employees of the state, to pay a greater portion into their retirement and their health care, I didn't like it personally. It was actually a cut and take-home pay, but I fully understood the necessity for that. And the first rounds of cuts that he called for, I supported those because we were facing a substantial deficit that was left to him by the previous Democratic governor. But what troubled me is that that generated a surplus, and then in the subsequent legislature, that was frittered away, and now we are again running a deficit, and he has returned to the university to try to make that up.
Can you have these cuts and the Wisconsin idea, Sharpless, the grand idea of public university education, are they compatible?
I really embrace that. I mean, it's flowery language. It's from around 1900, but it really speaks to what I think those of us who teach and work in this system really believe.
But is it compatible with these cuts? Can you have the Wisconsin idea and this cut and it still all works?
Well, you know, three of Wisconsin's greatest governors in the post-war period, Walter Kohler, Warren Knowles, and Tommy Thompson, all invested in public education and expanded the universities. It appears, and I don't want to be too rough on Scott Walker, it appears that he's rejecting that tradition of enlightened republicanism. We do have a tradition of Republican governors supporting our university and helping the university system grow.
There's a tradition. Now there's a budget. There was draft language, as Governor Walker said, to change the mission statement itself. The whole country will be watching for signals out of Wisconsin and its great tradition of public higher education to see where this all goes. John Sharpless in Madison, Wisconsin. Noel Radomski, also in Madison, and Christian Schneider there as well with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Very grateful to all three of you for helping us look into this. In a moment, we will look at Scott Walker's presidential ambitions, how they're going. This is On Point. Governor Scott Walker shaking things up in Wisconsin for several years now, from taking on unions to winning a recall election against him. Republicans across the country see him as a conservative champion. He's opened up an office in Iowa and is making the rounds on national media. A new poll from the conservative website Town Hall puts him at 24% favorability in Iowa, well ahead right now of Jeb Bush and Rand Paul with 10% each. Joining me now to look at Scott Walker's presidential ambitions and backers is Chris Saliza from Washington, editor of The Fix, a politics blog for The Washington Post. Chris, thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
What is the heart of the Scott Walker appeal now, and how does he look in the still rather large field of contenders, GOP-wise, for 2016?
I think he probably looks better than even Scott Walker thought he might look at this point. Look, this is a guy who came to national fame, infamy, acclaim, depending on what party you come from, during the attempt to recall him. He became a national conservative hero for taking on labor unions. He became a scourge for national Democrats. So we knew who he was. That said, I think there were worries that he might not be charismatic enough. Could his message go outside of Wisconsin? He had a very nice moment a few weekends ago at one of these very early candidate cattle calls in Iowa, where he gave what was widely regarded as the best speech. And you've seen him sort of bump upwards in what you've noticed, a very crowded field and a very long time before anybody actually votes.
When you look at, we've been talking about his push on the university system in Wisconsin.
I've been listening.
Language that would take take out some of its high-blown ideals there, and budget numbers that would cut pretty significantly. How does that play politically? If that is a political move on his part trying to gain national support, who does that appeal to?
Well, so I think there is a strain in conservatism, and it's grown in recent years, that believes that sort of the university system, not necessarily in Wisconsin, but more broadly, is controlled by liberal ideology. That's what's being taught is sort of this rose-colored view of a world that doesn't really exist, and that, you know, the idea that you're paying for this and oftentimes paying exorbitantly for it is wrong. So I think it will appeal to people who view the world that way, and many of those people will be voting in Republican primaries. I also think, and I've written about this, I don't know whether Walker did this intentionally or not, but in proposing the cuts to the University of Wisconsin system, he's brought out an unattractive, I would say, trait in some elements of the Democratic Party. Howard Dean was on Morning Joe on MSNBC last week and essentially said that someone who hadn't graduated from college was unknowledgeable and that he would be worried about someone like Scott Walker as president, because he hadn't graduated from college, and that's why he was making these cuts. So, yes, it is part of Walker's story that he did not graduate from Marquette. I think Democrats make a mistake if they make this UW cut proposal about the fact that Scott Walker is not a college graduate. You can make it about politics. You can say, you know, this is about his 2016 interest, not about the good of Wisconsin. But making it a sort of, you only smart people have college degrees, and have a certain kind of college degree, seems to me to be strategically mistaken.
What was it at the big Iowa GabFest a few weeks ago about Scott Walker's presentation that got enthusiasm up there for him, Chris?
Good question. You never know what gets everybody excited. I think he has on paper, and he talked about this, that he has a very good story to tell. He was a county executive, so he's got some hands-on governing experience before he was elected governor. He's fought through the recall. That is something that, again, that resume point is going to really resonate with lots of conservatives. And he's also a guy, and this is someone who often winds up being the nominee, he is a guy who is both liked by the business conservative world and seen by the social conservative world as one of them. Talked about his faith, talked about his religious backing, religious support, how he thinks about that. So the story of Scott Walker, I think, is what appealed to people. And frankly, and Jeb Bush doesn't have this luxury, most people don't know that story. So he will get some run, some positive run, I think, here in the next few months as that story is told to voters, in Republican voters, who just are not acquainted with him yet. It's the kind of story that is built to appeal to them.
Everybody's raising money these days in all parties, but we remember the guy who pretended to be one of the Koch brothers calling Scott Walker a few years back, and he was very solicitous of this guy who was feigning to be one of the Koch brothers. What is that relationship between Scott Walker and the Koch brothers?
I would say it's probably like the relationship between most politicians who want Republican politicians who would like to be president, and other and big donors, whether it's the Koch brothers or Sheldon Adelson or, you know, one of a number of other people, which is In the world of super PACs, relationships with these major donors, this is true for Democrats as well, relationships
yes.
with major donors is even more critical than ever before. Walker did get to know many of these people in the context of that recall. And I think if you're looking for the moment that Scott Walker became a serious presidential candidate, it was during and after his victory in the recall. That call was during his recall fight or during the showdown with unions that led to the recall. So, look, does he have a relationship with the Koch brothers and the rest of that sort of big donor universe? Sure. Is it any different or better than Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Rand Paul? Maybe marginally better than a Rand Paul or a Ted Cruz, but they all have very wealthy people very interested in getting them elected to offices.
He's doing well in the very early polling, but it is early. You're pretty wise about these things, Chris. Does the Scott Walker candidacy have legs? Can you see it going the distance, even coming out on top in the GOP?
I'm going to hold you to that. I'm pretty wise about things. I have to tell the Twitter world that. Look, I think he probably does have staying power. I don't think he will continue this sort of uninhibited rise upward in the polls. But I would say this. He has won 11 straight elections. He is someone who, even though many people, many Democrats don't understand it, has a clear appeal in Wisconsin, certainly. His profile, fighting unions, social conservative, pretty good on social conservative issues, quite good as a business conservative, is appealing. I think he can raise the money. He raised massive amounts of money during the recall. He's from the Midwest, which will play well in a state like Iowa. So, yeah, I think he does have staying power. I think if you're making a top tier at the moment, you probably have Jeb Bush and Scott Walker, and then you might have Marco Rubio.
Chris, we're out of time right there. Chris Cizilla, The Fix at The Washington Post. Thank you so much. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.